And let me just start out with what it's, I know it's an Easter tradition in a lot of places, but he is risen. Hey, this is great. You know, it's great to be with you today because you remember last year? We weren't getting together, were we? Unless you were in your homes doing it together. So anyway, it's great to be together today. We are certainly so grateful we can be with you today. And whether you're here in person or whether you're needing to watch online today, we just say a huge welcome and praise the Lord. He's risen. Hey, I'd just like to say if you're visiting with us today, we'd love to get to know you. You'll notice if you picked up a bulletin on the way in, there's a little tear-off portion where you can just fill out just information about yourself. We'd love to make contact with you, get to know you, how we can best minister to you and your family. So please just take a moment to do that. Tear it off, put it at the counter on the way out, and we'll make sure we make contact with you. We'd love to do that. So appreciate your time in doing that. I want to also just say in advance, thank you to the people who are working on the breakfast. And hopefully, if you didn't have plans before, you'll plan to stay for the breakfast after the service. You can probably smell it when you're coming in today. Can you smell it a little bit? So I want to certainly invite you to be a part of that. They've been working hard on it this morning, and would love to have you take part in that together. So please just plan to join us here in a little bit after the service. I want to just say this, that as an outreach team, we've been thinking and praying about ways that we can encourage our church family to reach out to people who may not know the Lord. And we've had a variety of things, like in January, we encouraged people to pick five people you could begin praying for. And then we went from there to actually sending cards to them during the month of Valentine's and just share with them the love of Christ in that way. And then after that, we were having people in March think about inviting people to the Easter service. Well, in April, then this month, we're going to encourage Bibles to be given out. And by the way, if you'd like to give a Bible out to a friend, we still have some extra Bibles left over that we've ordered. And if you'd like to give one to a friend, you can certainly sign up. We can get you a Bible, and we want to do that. In the month of May, what we're trying to do for an outreach to people to share with them the good news of Christ is put together like a little May hanging back. Thank you, basket. Yeah. So anyway, just that you can hang on their door. It just is kind of a token of your friendship and your care for them. And it's kind of cool inside. There are things like water for the living water, right? Things like Lifesaver, right? And then we also have just some basic information about the church, a pin from the church, a track, kind of some neat stuff in there. But if you'd like to sign up for some of these that you can hang on doors of friends or people you'd like to reach out to, we'll be putting these together and have them available for you in the month of May. So again, there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby area. If you just sign up how many you'd like to get, we can have those prepared for you so you can hand them out in the month of May. Again, just ways to reach out to people and let them know we're thinking about them and want to introduce them to Christ. So, well, hey, to prepare our hearts for our time in worship and song today, let's just open up in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to worship you in song this morning. This is a glorious morning when we think about the truth of the resurrection. Help us, Father, to sing in spirit and in truth this morning, just responding in our heart in a way that you're worthy because of your resurrection. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of our lives. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in his holy temple. We have come with shouts of joy to sing and to make music to the Lord. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship and always. Please stand.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To
has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne.
This is an exciting moment for us, because who would think that on a resurrection day, Easter day, we would be able to celebrate a baptism? And so I've asked Nate if he would to read Emma's baptism testimony. We asked her to kind of develop that herself, and as I understand from Lacey, she did. And so Lacey was just the scribe. So these are the words that Emma wanted to share with you this morning before we baptize her. So Nate, we'll go ahead and let you go.
Emma Gladfelter's testimony. I never saw it coming. I felt like God was calling me, and I could feel it. He was talking to me in a way I didn't expect. I was ready to play with my Legos, and God nudged me about all the sins I've done wrong and to ask for forgiveness. I asked Jesus to be my Savior, and I was ready to accept Jesus as my Savior, and the Holy Spirit was in me.
All right. So those are from Emma's words, and we appreciate what you shared, Emma. That was really neat. But I have to tell you something. It was about a year ago that we had her parents, and Emma came over, and we talked to her and just made sure she understood what this was all about. It's, you know, it's not the baptism that saves you. It's simply an outward testimony of what God has done in your heart. And Emma understood a year ago, and then COVID hit. So she's been waiting for a year for this. So, just realize, this is a special baptism. She's been waiting a long time for this. And I think she worked on her folks a little bit before that time, too. She's really been waiting a long time. So anyway, Emma, because of your profession of faith, it's a joy to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, these guys are coming up again. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had to do this baptism. It's a joy. And again, we've been singing in praise to you, but we just pray that we continue to just sing with a continued joy, because what you did in rising so many years ago is having an effect still today. And we pray that many more will be baptized because of a faith in Jesus Christ. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Please stand as we continue our time in worship. You are love.
Oh,
is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is going a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You
You may be seated.
It's a great joy to be able to sing those songs together, isn't it? It's awesome. Hey, at this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss the children's church. We have children's church for up through second grade. So if you have a young one, that would be a helpful thing for them. Why? We have some good servants to help get that done. So, for those of you who aren't going down to children's church, or at least on the way, we'd like to invite you to open up to Luke 24. Luke 24. It's the passage of Scripture we'll be considering together this morning. Luke 24. I'd like to look at the first 12 verses of this chapter, and we'll consider the message of it together then. Luke 24, beginning with verse 1, it says this. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while you were still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. Also, the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened." Father, as we take a look at this passage together, this is indeed an incredible week as we commemorate your resurrection. This is the key of our faith. Paul even says if the resurrection isn't true, our faith is in vain. And so this is an important event to really understand, to receive, to believe, and to live, to act on. And so I pray that you'll help us as we consider this today, that we will not simply come into an understanding of the truth of this day, but also that we would be challenged, that our lives would look like we believe this day to be true. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Came across a challenging question this past week. The question was this: are you living between Good Friday and the resurrection? Now, we know that we're here today because we're celebrating the Christ being raised from the dead. But the truth of the matter is, we could look around and we could find maybe someone who's gloomy in spite of that. Maybe someone who is uncertain about their soul. Maybe someone who's in doubt about what the Christian faith is all about. Or maybe someone who's just defeated. In spite of a day like today, I would be lying to myself, and we would be lying to ourselves to think that everybody in here is living according to the truth of the resurrection. I mean, all we have to do is look back at verse 11, where we read, "But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them." Now, this is talking about the disciples, the one who'd followed Jesus for 3 years. When they were told by the women what they had seen at the tomb, this is their response: "Nonsense. I'm not going to believe it." So we have to be careful about how glibly we say, "Oh, this is the resurrection day, and where I ought to be." The disciples certainly weren't there yet. Now, is the way that the disciples responded to verse 11 where God wants them to be? No, absolutely not. We see on the rest of this resurrection day, in fact, all except Thomas will see Jesus. And you know, they'll believe it because they've seen it with their own eyes. But at that time, they were not believing, thinking it was ridiculous. You know, if the resurrection account is true, and we believe it is, that's why we're here, then it ought to have ramifications for our lives. It ought to make a difference. In fact, when you think about the gospel accounts, the book of Matthew tells those on that resurrection morning, they ought to rejoice because this is an event that ought to bring joy to us. On the other hand, the gospel of John, his followers are told, peace be to you. We ought to have peace in our lives as well. And Luke, it certainly tells us, portrays a picture of we ought to have hope, real hope, when we think of this day. And again, many times people can be here on an Easter celebration, and yet that's not where their heart is. So let's examine our hearts today and see where they are. If we're not receiving this day in its full force, if you will, why is that? We're going to ask four questions this morning that will help us, I believe, get to our heart, our lives, and see where we are on this resurrection day. So, let me give you the sermon in a sentence right now. It's this. Share powerful resurrection truth with others. Share powerful resurrection truths about Jesus with others. And what is it that keeps us from doing this? Well, maybe some of the things that keep us from rejoicing, having peace or hope. Well, what are those four questions? Here's the first one. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? In verses 1 and 2, again, and I would just say before we start talking about this question, this is really talking about the way that we think. How do we think regarding this event? It says, but on the first day, that would be on Sunday of the week, at the early dawn, Greek word there would have the idea of deep down, it's an idiom, deep dawn, if you will, deep dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Now, in Mark 16:1, we're told that these spices were bought after the Sabbath, so it would have been after 6 p.m. on Saturday. But these women held on to it until they came to the tomb on this Sunday morning early. And they brought these spices. Now, it was some type of fragrant substance. It could have been a salve, an oil, a perfume of some type. What we have to understand is at that time, they didn't embalm their bodies like we do. And so it was customary for them to do these types of treatments, if you will, to prepare the body for burial. In verse 2, we're told this, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, just back up a bit. In Mark 16:3, we're told that as the women came to the tomb, because they know they need to get in and put the spices on the, you know, to prepare Jesus' body. But they're saying, who's going to move the stone for us? Verse 4 of Mark 16 says that it was a large stone. But that's taken care of because it's out of the way. In fact, Matthew 28:2, another account that talks about the resurrection, says that an earthquake had happened. And that the soldiers who were guarding the tomb, they fell down as dead. And we're told that the angel rolled away the stone and was sitting on it. So these women are able to come and... But hold on a second. We come to a resurrection celebration like this, and we know we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But in what state of mind did they go to that early morning appointment? Well, the women were expecting to find a dead Jesus. They were. They were going to put the spices on this dead body. Now, critics of the Christian faith, in fact, even on the day that this is all taking place, in Matthew 28:11, we're told that the soldiers were told, hey, what you need to do is tell people, look, the disciples came when we were asleep and they stole the body. And so that story has been perpetuated since that time. Others have said, well, really, these women went to the wrong tomb. But here's the thing. They went to find a dead body. That's why they went. And they wanted to use these spices to prepare that body for burial. Now, as far as Jesus goes, these women knew very much about his human nature because they knew he had died, and they were coming here to prepare his body for burial, as was their custom. But did they really grasp him being God? And it makes me ask this question. You know, people can give like surface answers of this day, like, who is Jesus? Well, he's the Son of God. But they really don't think about what implication that should have for our life. I mean, if we believe that Jesus is God, then it should really affect the way that we think day in and day out. It should affect the way that we speak. It should affect our very actions. Jesus is God. God in the flesh. And do we really comprehend that? You see, I think sometimes we could come to an event like this, a celebration even, and not really think about the implication of him being God. Well, Jesus was a man who was raised. Jesus was a man, yes, but he was God. And we need to understand that very clearly. There's another question, though, too. And we see that in verses 3 through 7. And it's another thing that affects our thinking. And the question is this. Well, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Again, just going back to verse 3 again, it says, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. So we see right here that they enter the tomb and they do not find the body of Jesus. We talk about the importance on these Easter resurrection messages, about recognizing the bodily resurrection of Jesus. There are some who would claim to be in the Christian faith who would say this is simply a spiritual event. It's not a bodily resurrection. But no, we believe that his body was raised. He's gone. That's why he's not there in the tomb at that time. They did not find a body. It was gone. And we're told they're perplexed, which would mean they were without resources. We could say without mental resources. No, I had to deal with it. In fact, another way you could render it is they were in a confused state of mind. What is going on here? They see he's gone. What's going on? And then we're told here that two men suddenly stood near in dazzling or lightning clothing. It caught their attention. And then we're told they're terrified. And they're bow their faces to the ground. Now, if they had been living in denial up to this point, we get an indication from this passage now. They know that something incredible is going on at this point. Incredible. Not only is the tomb empty, but now the angels have appeared to them and have spoken and are about to give them this message. In fact, they give them three different messages here that I think are worthwhile for us to take note of. First of all, they ask him a question. And so we see this question being, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. They're about to tell them. And you know, it got me to thinking this past week. Sometimes we can look for Jesus in the wrong places too. He was not there. And we can look in the wrong places too. Let me ask you this question. Where are you looking for Jesus? Where are you looking to find that satisfaction? Where are you seeking to draw close to him? We can try to find happiness and fulfillment in a myriad of different ways. But it's only as we seek him where we should find him in the Word of God that we see him. Okay. So they were perplexed. They were asked this question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And then notice the statement. He is not here, but he is risen. In other words, why are you looking here? But now we're just telling you flat out, he's not here, he's risen. You have a risen Savior. It's an incredible thing. And then they say this third thing, which is very interesting. They say, remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee? Remember how he spoke to you? Now, I'd like us to look at Mark 8:31. We're going to look at a series of passages here from the book of Mark. Here, Peter's just made his great confession. He's confessed that Jesus is the Christ, a great moment. And Jesus, right after that, says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after these days, rise again." You know what comes immediately after this? Peter pulls him aside and rebukes him for saying this. This isn't going to happen to you. And then Jesus goes on to say, really, you're speaking more like Satan here. So it was hard for him to accept that, but that's what he's told him earlier. And then another passage we see in Mark 9, 9, and 10. This to give us some context here. This is just after the transfiguration. Jesus has taken a select three disciples up with him, and he says this: "As they were coming down from the mountain, he gave them orders not to relate to anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man rose from the dead." And they seized upon that statement, discussing with one another what rising from the dead meant. So this is a great moment of transfiguration, but yet Jesus says to him afterwards, "Look, don't tell anyone about this until I've been raised from the dead." He talks about his resurrection. He talks about his death. So he, again, is giving him a heads up. And then in Mark 9:31, here he's on a tour of ministry throughout Galilee. And he says, "For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later." So again, he's telling them. And then on the way up to Jerusalem, and his disciples who are following him were told, they're really, some of them are quite fearful. For he was, in Mark 10, 33 and 34, it says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later, he will rise again." Again and again, Jesus has told the disciples this is going to take place, and they still had a difficult time getting it. You ever have a difficult time getting what the Lord is speaking to us through his word about? I hope you're honest enough and say, "Oh, yeah." Have you ever had a time where you've been worried about something and you remember that verse, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you"? It's like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. God's word says that." But so often we're so quick to forget what Jesus has told us. And this is true of the disciples in this case, and these women. They're being told by the angels, "Remember what he told you?" Verse 7 says this, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Well, he has been delivered. He has been crucified, and now he's being raised, and they can see that. It's all getting put together for them. It says in the next verse, they remembered those words. We see the Son of Man, they recognize him being a man, and now he's been raised from the dead. We see his Godhead really shown forth here. They're getting a picture more and more of who Jesus is. But now here's a question. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? There are some today who say he's a fictitious character. He never even existed. There are some in that day and even today who say his body was stolen. That's why you don't find Jesus in the tomb. There are still others who have the opinion of a man by the name of Dr. Robert Funk. He was the founder of the Jesus Seminar, one which I'm glad I didn't go to. Because he said here, Jesus' corpse went the way of all abandoned, convicted criminals, where his body was partly covered with dirt and vulnerable to wild dogs. That's where his body is. And there are some people still within the Christian tent who would hold to that. But we believe that Jesus is risen and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Amen? Yes, that's what we believe. That's why we're here. But where is Jesus? That's where he is. But again, along with who is Jesus, we need to remind ourselves of that truth and meditate on that. We also need to, where is he? He wasn't just raised from the dead and now he's over kind of hiding himself out in the Middle East someplace until he decides to reign again. He's at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is. So we need to understand that. So who is Jesus? Well, of course, he's God. Where is Jesus? He's been resurrected. He's at the right hand of the Father. Well, there's another question that we need to answer, and it's this. Do others view your talk of Jesus as nonsense? Do others view your talk of Jesus as nonsense? If in the last two questions we were talking about our thinking and what we think of Jesus and recognizing who he is, what he's done, this question is really going to go to our will. How will we then live? What will we do? Verse 8, they remembered these words. It was sinking in. Jesus says, do you not remember what I said to you when I was in Galilee? And with what they're seeing with the angels, with the empty tomb, what they're remembering, it's coming to full force with them. They're understanding it to a greater degree. And we're told in verse 9, they reported from the tomb and they reported all these things to the 11 and the rest. So, of course, Judas Iscariot isn't there. He's taken his life. But the others are there. And they go back and they're telling them. And we're told who's there. Mary Magdalene, whom we know the seven demons were cast out of. Joanne, who's the wife of Chirza, the steward of Herod. And then Mary, the mother of James, who is an intimate friend of the Lord's, who was with the other women who helped minister with him and helped support him. And other women who were not told who they are. But they're telling the apostles what's gone on as they've gone to the tomb. Now, the apostles, when they report to him, say, "Praise the Lord." Is that what they say? No, we've already said earlier, verse 11, they said when they hear it, it appeared to them as nonsense. As nonsense. It's interesting that as they say that it's nonsense, and then they're not believing. It's like, "You're crazy." They didn't believe. Now let's recap for a second. The women go to the tomb. It's empty. They'd expected to find the body of Jesus there. They're wondering what in the world is going on. And then those two men who we know were angels appear to them. And from that encounter, they're told, "Then go tell the disciples what you've seen." And they do. And they're just, all they're doing is faithfully obeying what they've been told. And they tell the disciples, and it's, "You are crazy." Wives, you ever felt like that? You tried to tell your husband something, he said, "You don't know what you're talking about." Well, they were right, and the guys were wrong. Right? The guys were wrong. They didn't get it. And that's why I thank the Lord for God's faithful women of that generation and of this generation. Because Lord knows, I've had times my wife has told me something and I wanted to say, "That is crazy," and she was right. So I thank God for faithful women in this generation too. I do. Now, what I'm not saying, what I'm suggesting that is our talk is nonsense to people, I'm not saying that we're mean-spirited to people. I'm not saying that we're harsh. I'm not saying that we're just talking about a wild hair, some type of wild thought we have, which is crazy that we're trying to convince people of, or that we're trying to embarrass people. It's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is just doing simply what the women were doing, and that is simply relating to them the truths of what they had seen that morning to the disciples, just to be faithful. And they were just that. And they were thought of as crazy for just telling the truth. I think of a man like Jonathan Kraft. Jonathan Kraft was a man who lives in Las Vegas. In fact, he designated quite a bit of time to the Warsaw Ghetto Remembrance Garden. What it was a little garden that remembered 440,000 Jewish people who were killed during the Holocaust. And it was a memorial to those Jews in that place, just outside of a Jewish synagogue. And he would take care of that land because he wanted the Jewish people who he's talking to understand he cared about them. Now, he's a Christian, But he wanted to build a relationship with them, so he would do that and take care of their garden for them. One day, his wife was doing a Bible study at home, and it's pretty loud at home. He said, I need to go someplace where I can get some quiet. So he goes to this memorial. And as he's going there, he's reading a scripture. And we pretty much know that the people in the Jewish synagogue wouldn't be too happy about the gospel message, right? We know that they didn't receive that. But as he's there, he didn't have somebody from the synagogue come up to him. He had a Buddhist woman come up to him who was a custodian of that property. And she began talking to this man, and he told her, he said, look, have you ever heard of Jesus? She goes, well, I've heard of him, but I don't know very much about him. And so he began to share with her about Jesus, how he had come to this earth, how he was God, and yet he'd become a man, the teachings that he had, how he was sinless. I talked about how his people didn't receive him, but he was crucified. He was put in the tomb, and the third day he was raised. All this took place so that we could be forgiven and become people of his. And he looks up from his Bible, and in this Buddhist woman in this synagogue courtyard had tears coming down her eyes. And he went and shared with the gospel with her a little more directly about how it related to her personally. And that woman received Christ as her Savior that day. Next day he went back and gave her a Bible where she could read more about it. But all this man was doing was faithfully sharing the Word of God in a place that some there wouldn't have been too excited about, but he did. He was had the courage to do it. And you know, really, that's what we're talking about for us too, for you. Will you venture to speak resurrection truth to people? Did you do it this last week? Will you do it this next week? You see, one of the things that so took place on this first, on this resurrection day was that those who witnessed the empty tomb were telling others about it. If we know we have a risen Savior, so important for us to be telling other people about it. So, so important. Well, do others view your talk of Jesus as nonsense? Are we venturing out? Are we daring to speak a word about our Savior? Our final question this morning is this, and I think it's an important one. Do you marvel? Do you marvel at the resurrection of Jesus? This issue, we've talked about our minds, how we think. We've talked about our will. How will we live? This one is really directed to our heart. How is our heart when it comes to Jesus? Do you marvel at the resurrection of Jesus? We're told in verse 12, that Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Now we're told in John 20 that John also ran with him. And whereas it seemed like when John saw what happened, he was able to believe pretty quickly, Peter, we're told, after this encounter at the tomb, he's still struggling. Because it says he stooped and he looked in and he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home. Neither in this account nor in the John 20 account do we see Peter saying he believed. Now again, we know by the end of the day he will have seen Jesus. But right now, he's still marveling. We're told he went away to his home marveling at what had happened. Marveling, he was admiring, he's wondering, what is this? You think his heart was stirred? Absolutely. Absolutely it was stirred. You may be here today, and like Peter, you know that we came here for about the resurrection of Jesus, but you've never really seen his personal connection to you. Well, this is quite an event, but so what about me? Now, you wouldn't have ever asked somebody that because I don't want to say that, right, on an Easter morning. But it's a fair question. What does this have to do with me? It means everything about you. Because here's the truth. The Word of God tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And furthermore, Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. It separates us from God. Our sin does. We can say, well, I haven't sinned as bad as this guy. It doesn't matter. One sin separated Adam from Eve in the Garden of Eden. The same thing's true of us. Our sin separates us from God. And if left undealt with, those who don't know Christ as their Savior will end up in hell. Those who know Jesus will spend eternity with him. So it means everything. If he rose from the dead, which we believe he did, it means he has the authority. It's truth. Our message is true. We serve a risen Savior. And so today I would encourage you with this. If you've never personally come to this understanding of, God, I've sinned. And I realize my sin is going to take me to an eternity apart from you. I don't want that. Please forgive me of my sin. I know you died on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me of that sin and help me to be one of yours. You can do that right where you sit. If you have questions, you can ask me afterwards. Ask someone who invited you. Talk to one of our elders. But let this be the day where you receive him as your Savior. It's a glorious day. It's a powerful message. I hope you'll respond today if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Let this be the day where you surrender to him. Well, you may know Jesus as your Savior. And yet, if you are honest, the wonder isn't there in your life. You're not amazed about the resurrection. In fact, you didn't think about the resurrection of Jesus until you showed up today. And now you're trying to get yourself in the mood. Doesn't always work like that. A heart of worship is a prepared heart. You have to prepare. It has to be prepared ahead of time. So has your heart been prepared? You can read the Gospels. And that's certainly a great way to open up your heart and to meditate on this event. Steve Herzig is a man who has taken up an occupation that maybe, a pursuit that a lot of you have. How many of you in the 10,000 step a day club? At least you try. Not that you get there every day, but you try to walk. Oh, no one. Well, I'm going to tell the illustration anyway, because Jamie's going to make me feel better. She raised her hand. Your watch broke, so you can't. But if it were on, you try? Okay, all right, there you go. Well, his thing was this. Look, when I'm out doing my steps, all right, what I try to do is get a podcast in, something related to Christ, something related to a devotional life with Christ, and I just spend time while I'm walking thinking on him. A lot of times we think, well, I need to sit down and read my Bible for this time. Well, yes, it's a great way to do it, but you can also take in the Word of God while you're walking or while you're working or whatever you might be doing for that matter. So think about ways that you can have your heart prepared. Do you marvel at the resurrection of Jesus? Is your heart prepared? So let's talk about some applications. Mr. McPhail has said this: will the reality of the resurrection radically change your approach to life? Will the reality of the resurrection radically change your approach to life? Now, if you've come to Christ, I dare say he's changed your life. But honestly, sometimes we need to reevaluate where we are. We need to, if you will, visit again the empty grave. The first thing, we need to believe Jesus is God. We need to believe Jesus is God. Oh, we say that we believe that. But do your thoughts, do your words, do your actions convey that you do? Are they consistent with that? I would say to you that none of us thinks of God, Jesus, this much in the way that we should. He's worthy of more than what you give him. Would you agree with me? I have to say, this week I've come to grips with that, you know, the Lord deserves more of me. Secondly, you need to know that Jesus has resurrection power. Again, it's not just stopping here. Jesus has resurrection power. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you believe that Jesus' resurrection made possible not only his coming to life again, but the salvation of other people, that other people then can live forever? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Yeah, absolutely. You know, what was the exciting thing for me was when Emma was baptized today. That was another, if you will, fruit of Christ's resurrection. The Lord Jesus made his truth understandable to Emma. She understood her need of a Savior. She understood what Jesus did for her. She responded to that. She has newness of life because of that. It's an incredible thing. And I hope you'll join with me in praying this year that more people will be baptized. Not that that, again, like I said when we were in the baptistry, it's not that that saves you, but it's an indication of what's going on in the heart. So to see that people have been touched by God, that they've said, yeah, I've been born again. I've come to life through Christ, and I want to just witness to that. That's an incredible thing. So know Jesus has resurrection power. He does. Third thing is this. Tell someone else about this risen Jesus. Tell someone else about him. How could you do that? Just a hint, just a suggestion. Number one, you can ask the question to them, to just the person you're talking about, who is Jesus? Ask them that. See what they say. The next one you can ask is, where is Jesus? Those two questions, they'll reveal a lot of where their understanding is of things. And then what you might do is follow that up with reading for them the passage we've just been going through today, Luke 24:1-12. Read that through them so they can see the resurrection passage before them and interact with them on that. If you don't know where they are spiritually, just, again, a great chance to ask some more questions. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, which we have a theme verse this year we've been talking about. He, speaking about God the Father, made him, speaking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Share that with people. People need to know why Jesus died. Take a few moments. It doesn't have to be highly structured. You don't have to put them like, it's not like you're drilling them. But just have a conversation with them. And if you don't like that plan or approach, that's fine. But just somehow, take opportunities. Ask the Lord to help you see those opportunities to share Christ and to seize them. And may that be true of God's people this week as we go ahead. So tell someone else. The fourth thing is this. Marvel at Jesus. Marvel at Jesus in his resurrection. Make the time. Spend time. You know, I'm fully convinced of this, that if our heart isn't prepared, like if we're not spending time in the Word and in prayer so that God prepares us, if we're not doing that, we're not near as likely to step out and share with someone else something that we haven't even been thinking about when it comes to the gospel. So again, to act on the will and share with someone else about the risen Jesus, you need to personally have had time preparing your heart so you're prepared to talk to other people about that. So, marvel at Jesus. Fifthly and finally, endure. In other words, when you're talking to people about Jesus and they say, you're crazy, or they just kind of ignore you. I had someone after the first service come up and talk to me and say, you know, just recently I had a chance to talk to someone about spiritual things, and that person didn't really like say I was crazy, but they just kind of blew me off. Like, you know, I really don't want to talk about that. Maybe you've had that experience too. Don't worry about it. I think we both agree that that person's response is not what should drive us. What should drive us is just being faithfully to talk to people about the risen Savior who we are spending time with and growing in our love of. Pray, because we know this is a spiritual battle. I don't save people. I can't save people. That's a work of God in people's lives. We need to be praying about it. And finally, wait for God to save. Sometimes we have to be patient. We have to be patient. In closing, I would encourage you to share powerful resurrection truths about Jesus this week. Let's ask the Lord to give us opportunities. Let's have a heart and a life prepared to do that. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity you've given to us just to come and consider the resurrected Savior. And we do serve a risen Savior. But Lord, I pray that this truth today would not only capture our minds, but would capture our hearts and our wills, that we would be determined to respond in a way that's worthy of a risen Savior who is God. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. Before we continue our time in worship singing Holy, 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 Ryan's going to share a portion of scripture that he found.
So in our Bible study and our Sunday school, we've been reading Hebrews. And this past week, we read the first part of Hebrews 12. And I wanted to share a couple verses there. Picking up halfway through verse 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." Who is Jesus? The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And where is Jesus? And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was the risen Savior then. He is the risen Savior today. He will be the risen Savior for all eternity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, merciful and mighty, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, perfect in love, perfect in purity, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Please stand up as we sing.
Of God's power. Go in confidence in the knowledge of God's strength. Go in joy in the knowledge of God's love. You are dismissed.